We have an enemy out there, and he's very good. He's very good. Now think about this. If he said to whosoever, is he talking to you and me? Yeah, I'm a whosoever. Are you? Yes, absolutely. He said, I can speak to a mountain, and it will remove if I don't doubt my heart. But most people, when they speak to something, I don't care if they're speaking to their body, I don't care what they're speaking to, if it doesn't happen immediately, well, they say, well, it wasn't God's will. No, that's not true. When it comes to healing, it's always God's will to heal you if you've repented of all your sins. He does not want you sick. He didn't die on the cross for your sickness to have you to be sick. You know, it's not supposed to be for Christians. But it's when we sin that brings sickness and disease upon us. But if we get rid of all of our sin, and one of the biggest sins in the church today is that doubt in your heart. Doubt. Unbelief. It is a big killer today. And we just, it's been around forever. But the Lord says there, if you don't doubt in your heart, he said, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now then, every time I think about that verse, I love to tell the story about Dr. Gary Young. Dr. Gary Young, a doctor in Salt Lake City, Utah, 4 or 5 years ago, he had fell out of a tree. He was 35 feet up in the air. And the limbs he was holding on to in the mountains of the mountains of Idaho, he was up there and he had climbed this big giant tree and he was holding two limbs about an inch in diameter and standing on one about an inch in diameter. And if I ever saw the devil had to be there, all three of those limbs he was holding on to and standing on broke at the same time. He fell 35 feet and hit right on his bottom. Now, what do you think that did to his lower back? From 35 feet up? He didn't know he could call on his angels. He didn't know these things. And so he fell and crushed his back. Well, they care flighted him out of the mountains and done a CT scan on him, and his back's so destroyed, it can't fix it. Crushed. So they sent him home, and he's laying on a bed, and one of the men from this church had left some DVDs in his motorhome and his truck when he was up there helping him. And so he had those DVDs and CDs in the house, and somebody had went and got them, and they were listening to our teachings about God healing people. Well, Sunday night, about 8 o'clock, he called this man here in Dallas and asked him if he knew how to get in touch with me. And he said, yes. He said, well, can you get in touch with him? I'm going to buy him an airplane ticket and have him fly out here in the morning and pray for me. So that man called us. He knew Cheryl's phone number. He called her. She was sitting at a little restaurant after church that Sunday night having a bite to eat. And about 8 or 8:30, whatever it was. And he said, they want to know if you will fly to Salt Lake City tomorrow and pray for Dr. Young. I said, sure, no problem. We'll be happy to go. I said, I don't have anything, you know, that's binding tomorrow, so I can go. So he said, okay, they'll buy you an airplane ticket. But I said, before he goes to bed tonight, or I mean, before he goes to sleep tonight or whatever, I don't know what his condition is, I would like to personally talk to him. So I said, give him my cell phone number and tell him I want to talk to him tonight before I come tomorrow. So we finish our dinner. We come to the post office to get the mail. It's Sunday night. And Cheryl's driving the little truck. And we get to the post office. About the time we get there, he calls. And so I'm talking to him. Cheryl runs in to get the mail, comes back. I pray a little short prayer according to Mark 11:23. Now, what did Mark 11:23 say I can have? What? Whatever I can what? Believe where? In my heart. And I can speak it where? My mouth. Doesn't that sound very simple? So I told him when he called, I said, sir, Mark 11:23 makes me an awesome promise and you an awesome promise. I said, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to speak a supernatural healing into your back in the name of Jesus. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, according to Mark 11:23, I ask you to do a supernatural healing. Now, are your words important? Very. Don't just ask for anything. Ask for what you really want. I wanted a supernatural healing in Dr. Young's back. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak a supernatural healing in his back, and it's done in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. I said, Dr. Young, call me with your praise report. And I hung up the phone. Now, do you hear any faith in that statement? Or do you hear any doubt and unbelief in that? No doubt and unbelief, right? You did hear a little faith in that, right? Because what was my last statement to him? Call me with your what? Now then, if I didn't expect Jesus to do what he said in Mark 11:23, I wouldn't have said that, would I? We get home 10 minutes later. My phone rings. I look at the number. I thought, well, I don't know who that is. But I pick it up. I said, yes, can I help you? And he said, Thurman, this is Dr. Young. I said, well, praise God. He said, I am already completely healed. He said, I am completely healed. He said, the minute you prayed, my pain went away. He said, I scooted over to the edge of the bed, put my feet on the floor, and stood up, and I could walk with no pain. He said, I walked up the stairs and back down one time. I reached down and picked up a 3 or 4 year old, 5 year old son, whatever it was, put him in my arms and ran up the stairs and back down. And he said, I have no pain. I am completely healed. He said, I'll pick y'all up at the airplane myself tomorrow. When it comes in, I'll be there standing in front of the terminal to get you. And so, what do you think that did to me? The Holy Ghost came up on me and I began to kind of tremble. I walked in the house and Cheryl said, what's wrong with you? And I couldn't talk. She said, he's healed, isn't he? I said, yes, honey, he's already healed. You know, you can have great faith, but when you see God show up to do something like that, what do you think that does to you, young lady? What would that do to you if you got to pray a prayer like that for somebody? What would that do to you? Would that make your skin kind of tingle? Yes. Is our God able to do those kind of things? Oh, is he ever? Yeah. And then, of course, we went out there the next day. He picked us up at the airplane. We stayed 3 days in his home. Big, beautiful home. He's a doctor. Very, you know, successful. A very wealthy man. We stayed there for 3 days, and then he showed us all over, took us out some fantastic places to eat and all kinds of stuff. We just had a great time. It's amazing. All I did was pray the prayer of faith, and God just blessed our socks off. You know, all I did was pray. He did all the work, everything. I didn't have to do nothing but pray. Is God good? And then he rewarded us. And so then a few months later, after we got back, Dr. Young happened to go into one of his clinics or whatever, and they x-rayed him. They wanted to check him. So he went in. He said, I'm perfect. And so the doctor that x-rayed him, this shows you how dense we are. The doctor x-rayed him. And now what did I ask for? What kind of a healing? Supernatural. I didn't ask for a normal, natural healing. I asked for supernatural healing. And when the doctors x-rayed him, they said, Dr. Young, don't bend over. He said, what do you mean? They said, we've done the x-ray, and there's where those vertebrae were crushed, there's nothing in your back. They're gone. So that means you have nothing holding your upper and lower back together. Now, why does nobody think that maybe God put something in there that's not detectable by x-ray? Isn't he awesome? Supernatural healing? So what did that give God the ability or the power to do? Whatever he wants to do. So what did he do? He fixed Dr. Gary Young's back with something that is so unique that x-ray don't show up. And now then he uses it everywhere he goes. And when he puts on his demonstrations for whatever, all the products he sells and everything else, he always takes a copy of this and he spends 30 minutes to 45 minutes telling people about stuff that he has. And then he spends an hour to an hour and a half telling them about what Jesus did and showing them the x-ray of how God supernaturally healed his back. Isn't that, we serve an awesome Jesus. Now, what did he say we could ask for there? Isn't that amazing that he gave us, do you see any limitations in that verse? Well, he said, whoever. Is that you? Is that you? Whoever. That includes you? How about you, son? Yeah. That includes all of us. Whosoever. Wow. You know, when we get a hold, if the whole church ever gets a hold of these promises, I mean, you'll be looking for somebody to pray over. You know that? I mean, you'll be looking for somebody. I mean, when you start seeing God do this, you'll see somebody that's got a little problem. I mean, just a little problem. Or just like the other day, just a little problem. We was in Home Depot. I mean, and we were getting to check out, and we're all talking about Jesus and everything all the time. And we go up to check out, and there was Dave was there. I don't know, and Eldon was there. I don't know how many of us there. We were getting ready to check out, and all of a sudden, this little cashier, she's doing this or something. Eldon says, or maybe it's Dave, I don't know which one of them did, said, "Is there something wrong with you?" She said, "Yes, I have an awesome headache." And of course, Dave's nicer than me. He says, "Can we pray for you?" But when he's saying, "Can we pray for you?" I'm reaching for her. I ain't going to ask. I'm just going to touch her in the name of Jesus. I said, when Dave said, "Can we pray for you?" And I'm going like this. And just as I get there and touch her, she says, "No." I said, "Too late, woman. I done touched you in the name of Jesus." I said, "Your headache's gone now." And she says, "It is gone." Now, what can we do in the name of Jesus? You see, when you learn what you can do in the name of Jesus and the love of our God for His people, you'll do something in faith. And when you do something in faith, who shows up? Jesus. Now, see, He knew what was in my heart. When I reached over for that girl, I mean, as I'm reaching, He's saying, "Just my son's going to get her. He's going to get her. And as soon as he touches her, I'm going to zap her with my power. I'm going to take that headache away." And He did. Now then, did Jesus say we could do those kind of things? Well, let's go to a scripture and find out. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And let's see if Jesus told us we could do these kind of things. Because if you can't confirm it in the Word, it's not true. But you find the Word. Look what He says. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Oh, them that believe. Are we going to be a believing believer or an unbelieving believer? Hey, there's a girl over here. She agrees with me. She's going to be a believing believer. No, girl, we don't hope so. We know we're going to be a believing believer, right? We don't hope so. We know we're going to be believing believers. Because look what He said happens. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." In whose name? In His name. In my name, the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. That's the devil. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Now think about this. How many times have somebody went to a doctor and got some kind of medication and it had a tremendous problem with the medication? Has any of you in here ever done that? Sure, I've seen it before. Yeah, so what verse did God give you to counteract that poison? Right there. You can say, "Lord, first of all, you need to repent for not believing Jesus." That's the first thing. "Lord, I repent that I took that medicine instead of going to you." But everybody's not there. You know, so if you're not there, you have to do the next best thing. And you go to a doctor. You know, because if you don't have doctors, sometimes people die. But if you got Jesus and you know His Word, then you don't have to sweat it. You know, you just know that Jesus is the healer. But He says, "And it shall not hurt them at all. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall do what?" Wow. Did He say you had to pray there? What did He say you had to do? What do you have to do? Just touch you, right? That's all. He didn't say I had to pray or nothing. He said just lay hands on them. Is that what He said? Oh, He said lay hands, so let's make sure. Let's make sure we got both of them. Let's touch you if possible with both hands. But if we can't get to you with, like I could only get to that girl with one hand, by the time I got touched her, she said, "No! It's too late. I'm sorry. But you're healed. Tell me you still got your headache." And she didn't have one. Isn't that amazing? You know, whenever I have no idea how many people I in different places like that. I was over there one day and a little girl was checking me out and she had a problem with her little child and I saw a little tear. I said, "Honey, is there something wrong with you?" She said, I'm sorry. "I'm letting my life get in the way here." I said, "Well, what's wrong with your life?" She said, "I got a baby that's so sick. I'm having to work, but I've got to be here." But said, "My baby is home and of course somebody's there." But she said, "She's so sick, and I need to be there with her." I said, "You're a Christian?" "Well, yes." I said, Do you know that Jesus is the healer? Well, I know Jesus could heal if he wanted to. I said, but he wants to. I said, when you exercise faith, he moves. I said, I'll just lay hands on you. Is that okay if I touch you in the name of Jesus? She said, sure, sir, do anything. So I just reached over and laid my hands on her arm. I said, Father, for this little girl's little child, I remit her sins. And I ask you to be merciful to this little girl and heal her baby. I said, Lord, I want to thank you. It's done. I said, guarantee, girl, your little baby's going to be well when you get home this afternoon. Well, it's a couple of months later. When I was back in there one day, as soon as I walked, she said, oh, sir, you remember me? I says, no, I don't think I do. I said, what's the deal? She said, you prayed for me up there. My baby, remember? I said, oh, yeah, I remember. I said, so what'd God do? She said, I got home that day. My baby was well. Now, what can we do in the name of Jesus? I mean, look for somebody to pray for. You want to see God answer your prayers and do something? Quit being a dead Christian. You know, get off of your backside and look for somebody to pray for. You know, lay hands on somebody, do something. You know, God will do something through you if you'll just do something in faith. But first of all, get rid of your sins. Get rid of all your sins. I mean, get rid of your sins. You know, make sure you've repented of all sin. Because God, that's Psalm 66:18. Let's look at that Psalm 66:18. And let's see what that says. Sounds like it's raining out there, doesn't it? Psalm 66:18. Look at this. If I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord, he'll hear my prayer. Is that what it said? Oh, that's not what it said, huh? That must be what we think. Because so many of us hide iniquity in our hearts, and then we pray and we expect God to answer our prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isn't that something? So if you've got sin in your heart, how do you get rid of it? How do you get rid of it? You repent. That's right. You confess it. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you know, if you really want to see God do wonderful things before you pray for somebody, if you think there might be any kind of sin in your life or the person you're going to pray for, if you've got time, always say to them, would you repent of all your sins and tell God you're sorry for everything you've done? Ask him to wash you in his blood. If you've got time. I didn't have time with that little girl that day, so I knew she wouldn't have done it anyway. But you know, God will honor your faith. And if you got bold faith, man, he'll honor it and he'll do great things when you pray in faith. But make sure you've got your sins all repented of. Make sure you're walking in obedience to his word. Make sure you've been talking about Jesus. You know, that you made him the Most High God your dwelling place. And then he'll hear your prayer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir, a little louder. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, he just asked a question there. Can your healing be hindered because of your spouse's sin? Yes. And usually that's, in fact, when a man and a woman, when the two of them get married, how many do they become? One. When God looks at you, he sees you as a unit. Now then, one of the reasons a lot of women don't get their prayers answered is because they've not submitted themselves to their husband. Whereas God clearly told the wife, the man is to be the spiritual head of the house. He is to be the final authority. And you, the wife, are to submit to your husband. Even, now most women have never done this. 1 Peter 3, I think about verse 10, Dave. Let's go over there. The people, they need to see this. That's why a lot of women don't get their prayers answered right here. 1 Peter 3, 10 and on. And let's see where I'm at there. I think I'm in the right place. Let's see if you've done this before. 1 Peter 3, 10. Okay. Verse Peter 3, start with verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 3 and 4. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning or plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. Now, sometimes it's very hard for a woman to be quiet. Y'all know where I'm coming from? You know, in fact, I was talking with a lady the other day, and she was telling me that, well, she had a lot of troubles. I think it was with her first husband. I'm not sure. But she, anyway, a husband she had. And she said, this was back in the days before I knew to keep my mouth shut. So she said, whenever he started talking, when I come back at him, then that's when we had a knockdown drag out. You know, so she said, and I didn't know until I came to this ministry that if I'd have just kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't have had no problem. But, you know, God tells you this in the Word. But, see, that's a problem. We don't know the Word. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So God loves it when the women, the wives, do this. Then in verse 5 and 6, let's see what he says. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. When's the last time you called your husband Lord? How many of you girls in here are married? Okay. Can I put you on the spot? Have you ever called your husband Lord? Oh, any of the other girls in here ever called your husband Lord? No. You never done that either? You are married, aren't you? You are. But now, but see, Cheryl, she learned this, and she has called me. Now, the first time or two she called me Lord, it was when she was upset with me. First time or two, she'd come to me and she'd say, yes, Lord. I could tell she was upset with me. You can't fool me. I knew she was upset. It was hard for her to do it, but she knew God told her to do that. She didn't want to, but she's obeying God. Now, do you think that pleased the Lord? Of course it did. And it pleased him, even though her heart wasn't in the right place. But now then she can do it. I mean, just once in a while now, she just comes by and hugs me. She says, oh, I love you, my Lord. And I said, she's doing that really from her heart. She really saying it out of love. Now then, but did God say for the girls to do that to their husbands? Did he? Look what he says here. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Then he says, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now then, does it please God when the wives call their husbands Lord? Does it? Now, if you're not willing to do that ever, and you're not going to do that, you will die first, then you may have trouble getting your prayers answered. Because you're in disobedience. You're in rebellion. Y'all see where I'm coming from? There's so many things that God told us to do in His Word. Why don't we just do it His way and just let Him answer our prayers? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What do you think your husband would do if you went home today and when you got home, you just grabbed him and looked him right down and said, honey, I want to tell you how much I love you and I want to say you're my Lord. I wonder what he would say.
He'd fall out.
Yeah, this girl says he would fall out. But you know, you never know what kind of an impact that might have on him. As a daughter of the King, and you are a daughter of the King, right, young lady? You know it might have a tremendous impact on your husband. You know that? I mean, after all, is these words I'm saying, or did God say this in His Word? Oh, my goodness, she says, God said it. I can tell she didn't like the way she But the Lord, who's in control of this whole thing? God. Now, who do we want to please? God. I mean, did he say right there, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham? Yes, ma'am, you got a question? What, honey?
What if you have an abusive husband?
Well, then call him Lord and love him anyway. And as you do, that quiet, gentle spirit, he might look at you and say, you know, this girl's got something different. And after a little while, he might say, What is it that makes you where you can do what you can do to be as mean as I've been to you? You say, it's because of my love for Jesus. He said, you know, I want what you got. And he might get saved. That's what the scripture said.
Well, abused by his father.
Okay, but God will take away that abusiveness in him. Now then, you can really change him by learning how to go to the throne of grace. I mean, my wife knows that well. I mean, anytime I do something that different, I'll just give you an example of the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, Jesus clearly says that we can come to the throne of grace in times of need. Anytime we want to come boldly into the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. Let's put that up here right quick, Dave, and let them see it. There it is. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So when we go to the throne of grace, you're a daughter of the King. You know Jesus. What, honey?
Is it God's will for a wife to stand by and let their husband abuse?
Well, no. The thing about it is, you wouldn't want to see your husband abuse it, but you can't change him.
So, is that a submission issue?
Well,
if your husband abuses your child, are you supposed to?
No, the thing about it is, you need to learn to pray. You can change him by going to the throne of grace. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you, when you learn this scripture, if you will start praying, where it says, therefore, let us come boldly into the throne of grace. If you're married to an abusive husband, and I know this happens to lots of people, and a lot of these men say they're Christians, but if they really are a Christian, they don't have any idea what Jesus does. You, as a daughter of the King, can get into a place quiet all by yourself, making sure you have repented of all of your sins, and then you can go to the throne of grace because you're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. You all know that? That's written in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. So since we're already seated with Him in heavenly places in the spirit realm, you can catch yourself up to the throne of grace, the third heaven, and you can jump up in your Father God's lap in the name of Jesus, your big brother, with He's with you, and say, Father, this husband that I have, he is a rebellious man. He is abusing our children and me. And Lord, I am walking in obedience to your word. I am doing my best to be a submissive wife and to walk in love. And I want you to change my husband and make him a great man of God, a man that will love me and be gentle with me and be gentle with our children. Now, Father, you said in your word that I could come to this throne of grace and ask you for these things. And if I've got all my sins repented of and I'm here with my brother Jesus, you said all of your promises are yes and amen. So I'm going to lay my husband in your lap, and I'm going to expect, since you said I could come up here and ask for anything, I'm going to expect you to move on his heart. Now then, Satan, I serve notice on you, you devil of hell. I command you in the name of Jesus. I am exercising my power and my authority as a daughter of the King. I am exercising that power over you, Satan, and I'm demanding I'm going to knock you out of my husband's life. Do you hear me, Satan? You have to be subject to me. I am a daughter of the King. You will leave my husband. You will get your filthy hands off of him, because it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, I have all power and all authority over you, and you in no wise shall hurt me or my children. So in the name of Jesus, I'm driving you out of my husband, Satan, and I'm exercising my authority as a daughter of the King. Do you hear me, devil? And I ain't taking no for an answer. Now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to move by the power of the Spirit upon my husband, and I ask you to change him. I ask you to put the spirit of love, joy, and peace in him, and make him a great man of God, a man that'll love me and be gentle with me and the children. Now, Lord, I want to thank you. It can't happen no other way, because it's your will for me to live in peace. And I know you said that in the word. So, Lord, I want to thank you for changing my husband in the name of Jesus. And I guarantee if you pray like that, God will move on your husband's heart and you'll come up with a new husband. Your husband will become a different man. I have seen this over and over and over. Now then, Let me take you to the scripture to confirm what I'm saying here. In Proverbs, what is that, Dave? 21:1? 21:1. Look at this. I used to think that we had a free will. And I've heard people all the time say we have a free will. But look at Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart, or the man's heart, anybody's heart, is in the hand of the Lord. So everybody's heart's in whose hands? God's. He is in control. And he says, as the rivers of water, he turns it whichever way he will. So then why does God turn a heart one way for one man and another way for another one? Why? Because of your prayers. When you go to the throne of grace, you have not prayed like that for your husband. So when you learn to pray like that for your husband, and you exercise your power and your authority as a daughter or a son of the King of the universe, you will see God move, and you will see your husband or your mate become a different person. I guarantee it. I mean, it'll work. God will do it. I mean, I think about the poor women that have suffered all their years and didn't know how to go to the throne of grace. And we as pastors have not taught you because we didn't spend enough time with God for God to reveal it to us. But when he does reveal it to us, then we should teach it to you. And I guarantee, I walked up to a man one day. I said, how you doing, brother? And I shook hands with him. I said, what's your name? He said, Larry Gooch. I said, praise God. I said, you're a Christian? Oh, man, this guy exploded in front of me. Blankety blank. No, I ain't no blankety blank Christian. I don't want nothing to do with you blankety blank Christians. I said, wow, what, did you say your name was Larry Gooch? He said, yeah. He said, why? I said, because I'm going to go to the throne of grace for you. I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to get saved. He said, don't you pray for me. I don't want to be saved. I said, you don't have nothing to say about it. I'm going to the throne of grace. Do you think God wants everybody on earth saved? Yes. He wants everybody saved. That's what he sent his son for. Let me tell you, that next morning when I was coming to work, I want you to go, and since I knew this scripture, I want you to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. And I want you to see the mighty power that God's given you and me in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Look at this. At Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Behold, I give unto you power. We're going to get it here. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. You know who the serpent and the scorpions are? The devil and his demons. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on the devil and his demons and over all the power of the enemy. How much the power of the enemy? So if he's given you power over all, how much does the devil have left? He don't have none left. That's right. Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What shall hurt you? Nothing. Notwithstanding of this, rejoice not that the spirits, or the evil spirits, are subject unto you. Well, if the evil spirits have to be subject to you and me as Christians, why do we let the devil get by with so much? Why do we let him make us sick? Because we don't know. We don't know what belongs to us. Then he says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, after I met Larry Gooch that day and he cussed me out and everything else, and I told him, I said, you don't have no choice. You're going to get saved. And so the next morning on the way to work, I said, Satan, I caught myself up to the throne of grace. According to Hebrews 4:16, I'm driving down the road in my truck, but I'm in the throne of heaven. I'm bold as a lion up there driving down a truck, going on the road, going to work. I said, after I got up there and praised God for a few minutes, worshiped and praised the King, I said, now, Satan, I demand that you come right over here and sit down that seat. I got a word for you from the Lord. Somebody says, man, you're talking to the devil like you got power and authority over him. Well, maybe I'm just naive enough to believe that God's word means what it says. Is that what it said? How much power did it say I had over that beast? So why should I be afraid of that beast if I got all power over him? Girl, right. I ain't going to be afraid of him, right? I said, you devil of hell, sit down right there. I got a word for you. I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, I am demanding you get your blinders off of Larry Gooch. I said, that man's lost. You've blinded his eyes and he's headed for hell. But I ain't going to let you have him. I said, now in Jesus' mighty name, you have to be subject to me. You have to obey me. So I demand that you withdraw all your wicked demons off of Larry Gooch and get away from his life and leave him alone in the name of Jesus. I said, now, Father, you said clearly in your word that nobody comes into the kingdom except to be drawn by the Holy Ghost. I said, you move on the hearts of men. You move on the hearts of men according to our prayers. So I'm asking you to move on Larry's heart. I'm asking you to begin to convict that man of sin. bring him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him. I said, now, Lord, if I can be the laborer that can bring him to Christ, use me. But if I'm not the right one, then you put the right one in his path so that Larry Gooch gets saved. I claim that man's spirit, soul, and body for you, service under your kingdom forever in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. I said, now, devil, you can go. Somebody says, my lands, how much power do we have over that devil? Why should we be afraid of the devil? Who does he have to be subject to? Us, the children of God. Now then, the only time the devil don't have to obey you, if you got sin in your life. You got sin in your life, he loves it. You tell him to go somewhere, he's going to hurt you. Because he's got legal right to you. He ain't going to obey you if you're living in some kind of sin. You're lying to somebody, you're stealing from somebody. You're messing around with somebody you ain't supposed to be messing with. You're doing things that's not according to God's word. You start trying to tell the devil what to do, he's going to hurt you. Because he has legal right to you. You're walking in unforgiveness towards someone. Hey, I mean, the devil's going to hurt you. So all you got to do is obey God. Walk in obedience to his word. Well, it wasn't just a little while, this man that cussed me out. After I did that every day for a couple of weeks. I mean, I just got bold with that devil. I got bold with my Heavenly Father. Did he tell me to come boldly into the throne of grace? Is that what he said? So why do you think he wants me to come in? Like a wimp? Oh, God, please, Lord, if it be your will you please save Larry? He said, no, I don't hear those kind of prayers. I want you to know what my will is. Then you come. I told you to come boldly in here. You're my son. Tell me what you want. Well, I come in boldly. How can I come in and be so bold? Because of the blood of my brother. Did he die for you and me? Oh, did he ever? He died for you and me. Yes, he did. So I can go in there bold as a lion. And about 2 weeks later, Larry walked into my office one morning, drinking a cup of coffee. I was there real early, about 5 o'clock, or 4 or 5 o'clock. I was working on a computer program I was trying to get ready. He walked in and said, hey, Thurman, can I sit here and drink my coffee with you while you're working on that computer program? I said, sure, sit down. We talked a little while, and he said, by the way, where do you go to church? I said, I go to First Baptist Church in Justin. Now, this is a guy that wants nothing to do with religion. You know, this is a guy that wouldn't even talk about it. The guy cussed me out as soon as I said, are you a Christian? All of a sudden, he's asking me, where do you go to church? I said, oh, First Baptist Church in Justin. He said, what do you think about so-and-so? He named a preacher here in town that had got caught stealing money out of the church. And I said, well, you know, he's a human being. You know, he made a mistake, you know. So I said, but, you know, God, he's big enough to handle his kids. Well, what about this other preacher who got caught, you know, sleeping around with some other women? I said, he's a man, too. You know, I said, but God's big enough to take care of his preachers. He said, well, don't you think that people just preach God's word just so they can make a lot of money? I said, it's amazing how the devil deceives us. I said, you know, it costs money to do everything. I don't care if you're preaching the word, teaching the word. I said, in the company we work for, they have to have money. I said, it costs money. We got to pay your salary, my salary. I said, it costs money to do things. I said, you know, the devil will tell you, now don't go down to that church because all that preacher is going to want your money. I said, if you listen to that lie, I said, then you'll live your life and you'll never come to know Jesus and you'll die and go to hell. And I said, when you're in hell, then that devil will come up to you and say, you fool. The price of your salvation was paid. It was free. And I deceived you and I kept you from learning it. Now you're going to spend eternity in this godless hell with me. And when I said that, he almost knocked off his coffee and he jumped up. When he jumped up, he said, I've heard that voice. I said, you have. He said, I ain't going to hell. I said, well, you are if you don't change your way. He said, well, Thurman, what do I have to do not to go to hell? I said, you have to make Jesus Lord of your life. It's real simple. And what do I need to do? I said, well, you're getting ready to go home this morning. You get off at 6 o'clock. I said, go by Walmart or somewhere and buy you a Bible. I said, get you a New Living Translation or something that you can read, something that's easy to read, and then read it. And I said, start with the book of Matthew and read through it. And I said, when you got questions that you don't understand, come see me, and I'll try my best to help you with it. Over the next few weeks, he called several times, and one day he came back and said, you know, I've run into this thing here about Romans 10:8-9. Where the word says that if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart Father raised him from the dead, I will be saved. He said, Thurman, it can't be that easy. I said, it is that easy. He said, well, I want to get saved. So I got him saved. accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. A year later, his wife. She came to see me one day. She says, Pastor, I wasn't a pastor then. I was an engineer. She said, what you did for my husband, he's a totally different man. He's not even the same man. He said, I just can't believe that I lived with this guy all these years and he was so mean and now he's so good. Now see, God can change a heart. You have to learn how to pray. See, I'm telling you, you're here for a reason today. You know, you're here for a reason. You're here to learn how to pray. And I'm going to teach you how before you leave. Or I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you, with you, before you leave. And God's going to change your husband. I guarantee he will. He will get a new husband. But everybody needs to know these scriptures, do we not? If you know these scriptures and they're in your heart and you believe them, what kind of power did our Heavenly Father give us in the name of Jesus? All power. So if we got all power and we can go to the throne of grace and he'll change. I'll just give you an example, young lady. I'm not haven't been a dog lover. My wife had a little dog when we got married and her little dog died and had a heart attack. And so she didn't even talk about another dog for 2 or 3 months. And then one day she comes and said, I think I want another dog. I said, absolutely no dog. I don't like a dog. I don't want one. I ain't going to have one in the house. You know, I said the only reason the other one was here because she was grandfathered in. She was here before I came. And so I said, but no more dogs. Oh, she said, okay. So she got a couple of girls here, and they took Hebrews 4:16 and they went to the throne of grace and jumped up in Daddy's lap. Do you see where I'm going here? They jumped up in Daddy's lap and said, Dad, in the name of Jesus, I want a dog. Now, my husband, he don't like dogs, so I'm asking you to move on his heart and soften his heart, or he will let me have a dog. Now, they didn't bug me, because if she could ask me the rest of her life, and guess what I'd have said? And I said, that's exactly right. No dog. What did you not understand when I said no dogs? That's what I mean, no dogs. See, that's us old hard-nosed guys. Is that the way we are, brother? I know, sometimes, at least you're truthful, right? That's the way we are, sometimes. And so she didn't, one day, about 2 or 3 weeks later, she said, well, honey, has the Lord spoken to you yet? I said, about what? She said, about my dog. I said, yeah, she said, about Lily Scrivener. I said, who's Lily Scrivener? She said, my new dog. I said, no, he hasn't. I said, and if he does, the answer is still no. You can't see, he hadn't moved to my heart yet. So they pray again. Oh, you didn't pray more? You just praised him and worshiped him, huh? Okay, so they just praised and worshiped him. So then, once more, I don't know, maybe it wasn't. Anyway, on a Saturday night, a week or two later, I was here studying, getting ready for Sunday, and I was in there at about 9 o'clock. All of a sudden, the Lord began to work on my heart about her dog. And I'm thinking, God, why am I thinking about this stupid dog? I don't like dogs, and so he's putting this on my heart. Now, son, I made that dog. Your wife loves dogs, and I made that dog. And so why should you withhold something from her? Yeah, you don't like dogs, but she does. So why should you withhold something good from your wife? You love her. I gave her to you. So anyway, about 1 o'clock, I'm so confounded, confused. I just said, okay, God, I just closed up everything, my Bible, and I just quit. I go in, I go to take a shower and go to bed. Cheryl comes to bed. She said, well, we'll lay there for about 30 minutes. She says, has the Lord spoken to you yet? I said, about what? She said, my dog. I said, yes, he's spoken to me. She said, well, I said, you can have her. Oh, she said, good. So she gets up, runs, said, I want to show you a picture of her. I said, you mean you've already found her? She said, yes, I already found her. Does that sound like faith? Yeah. She went in and printed off a picture of her. Little tiny black thing, weighed about 1.5 pounds. I mean, just a little bitty tiny thing. And she said, Monday I'm going to go get her then. That was Sunday night, or Saturday night. So Monday, her and Pat went over and picked up this little tiny black dog. Now she now weighs about 5 pounds. She's just about full grown now. Well, she's a little bitty thing, but she has really been something running around the miniature center here. She's just the wiggliest thing you ever seen. And even Dave and I have liked her. So when Dave and I both like her, God's got to move on all of our heart, I'll tell you for sure. But do you see what we can do if we take the Word of God and we do it God's way? Now, who's the heart? It said the king's heart, but that literally means man's heart. That's yours, mine, female, male, everybody's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And He's going to direct your heart some direction. Which way? However somebody prays. You see where I'm coming from? What did He do with Larry Gooch? Larry's heart had been directed away from God because nobody had prayed for him. Isn't that a shame that we have so many people in a church and we don't know how to pray, so we just think, well, he's got a free will. If he wants to be lost, he can just stay lost. There's nothing I can do to change that. But there is something you can do to change that. You can change his life. You can get God to move on him. And that's just like people that come here for healing. When you come here for healing, you come here because you know that in this place, I teach faith about healing. And if you repent of your sins and you believe God, and when we pray for you, I guarantee you the King of the universe is going to heal you. I have seen him heal thousands of people in my life. Now, is it God's will to heal you? Yes. Is it God's will for you to walk in love? Yes. And why do some people walk in love and some don't? We've never learned how to pray. We've never learned to obey God. We've never learned, as women, we've never learned to submit in that quietness and gentleness of spirit and just pray. You know, this is something that almost nobody does. When somebody is, like this little lady's situation, if your husband was abusing your children, it's very hard to humble yourself, get on your knees, and just look up and start praying quietly to God. You know, if he's really a man that knows Jesus and he looks over and sees you doing that, it's going to have an impact on him. God will move. If you're there quietly seeking God to move on his heart while he's doing something bad to your children, I'm going to guarantee you God's going to move on his heart. Oh, he knows how to soften an old boy's hard heart. You don't tell me God can't soften a heart. Oh, I got to tell you all another story right quick about whenever the girls, when we first built the ministry center, all we had this part over here. And there was just me, and of course I was living over by myself. And then, of course, Cheryl came into my life. And so then Dave and Ayesha came into my life, and they started living up there on the other end of it and everything. So now we begin to get more and more people, you know, and then we hired a couple other people that was eating out here with us. And so they had more dishes. They said, we need a dishwasher in the kitchen. I said, a dishwasher? I looked at the three girls. I said, one, two, three. I have three dishwashers. And I said, if everything else fails, I got the fourth one. I can wash dishes. I know how to wash dishes. They said, no, we want an automatic dishwasher. I said, no dishwasher. I didn't put in enough cabinet. I don't have a room there. I'd have to cut a hole in the wall, run a drain. I said, I ain't put in a dishwasher. So the girls, again, they go to the throne of grace and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we need a dishwasher. We want an electric one, an automatic one to put under the cabinet up there. Now we ask you to move on your son's heart and change him and make him commit to a dishwasher. So they get a little tag, says our new dishwasher, and they stick it on the cabinet there. When I come in the next day, I see this. I said, what's this? They said, that's where we want to put the new dishwasher. I took the sign off, rotted up, throwed it in the trash. I said, there ain't going to be no dishwasher. I got one, two, three dishwashers. They said, no, we want an automatic one. We've asked God for one, so it's just a matter of time. Now, does that sound like faith? Amen. These girls ain't going to take no for an answer. They know who their Heavenly Father is. So they continued to praise him and thank him for their dishwasher. And one day, a man called me and he said, Thurman, you know, I bought a new refrigerator I used up there for a while, but I don't need it anymore. And he says, I understand the girls want a new dishwasher out there. I said, how'd you hear about that? He said, oh, it just got to me. And so he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, you know, a new dishwasher only costs about $300. I said, yeah, I know they're not very expensive. I said, but it takes time to put it in. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. That refrigerator up there costs $500, and it's only about 6 months old. If you'll put a dishwasher in for the girls, I'll give you that new refrigerator. I said, okay. Now, does God know how to move on an old hardcore boy's heart? I got a new refrigerator out of the deal. I did have to spend $300 or whatever and buy him a new dishwasher and put a cabinet top there and run the water and drain and all that stuff. But I put them in a dishwasher, so now they have a dishwasher. So now does God, can God do things different ways? A.A., can he do things different ways? Can he move on an old boy's heart like mine and yours? Sure he can. He can move on our hearts. He can do all kinds of wonderful things when these girls learn how to pray. Now, what most girls do, they come to their husband and say, I want a new dishwasher. No, I'm not going to buy you one. Then they get mad at him. Every time they see him, I want a new dishwasher. No, get out of my hair, woman. I ain't buying you no dishwasher. And does she ever get the dishwasher? No, you can't change him, can you? How many of you girls have tried your best to do something to your husband and never got him to do it? And the more you told him what you wanted, the further he went away from it. Y'all know where I'm coming from? So give up on that. That don't work. Go to God. Can God move on a man's heart? Is that what he said? Can he change your heart? Yes, he can. Okay, now then, praise the Lord. Before we really get started, I'm going to take two or three testimonies. Who wants to be first on a testimony? Who wants to give us a testimony? Come on, here's a lady right here, got her hand up right there. Come up here. Come up here, young lady. I want you to tell us what Jesus has done for you and what was wrong with you. Right, she said, okay. Amen. That's the right thing to do.
Well, my name is Sherry Garman. I live in Pampa, Texas. I was introduced to this minister here through a friend of mine through his DVDs about 3 years ago. She was a retired pastor, and I needed a healing. I had about 20 things wrong, including leukemia, diabetes, high blood pressure, you name it, hurt and a wreck, neck and back injuries, asthma, pneumonia, off and on, in the hospital. So I went to the doctor, and he said, you're going to have blood. Go home, get ready, come back to the hospital, and prepare for blood transfusions and maybe bone marrow transplant. So I come home, told my husband. Of course, I said, I'm not going to do it. I was on 14 prescription drugs. And I felt terrible. So my friend said, you need to hear this awesome pastor's testimony, Caitlin's miracle. So I did. That day, God healed me. I'm still healed. Going to stay healed and off of all my medicine that day.
You got healed just listening to the CD.
Absolutely.
Wow. She just listened to the CD and got healed. Is that awesome or is that awesome?
Awesome God.
God is an awesome God, isn't he?
That day, I never took another pill. I didn't go take no blood. I'm healed.
3 years now.
Yes, sir.
Wow. And it's still holding good.
Still holding good.
Praise the Lord. God's good. Yeah. Okay, let me tell you something here, these scriptures. Of course, it works the same way whether you be the man or the wife. First of all, you know, when we realize that husbands and wives, you know, when we read the scripture a while ago about wives submitting to the husband and calling him Lord, we didn't get down to the part about the husband. See, the husband, it says, husbands, you are to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Now, if you're a man of God, and you really do love Jesus, the way you're supposed to treat your wife is like Jesus treated the church. He was willing to give his life for the church. That's the way the men is to treat their wives. Now then, if you find a man that knows that and does that and walks in that God kind of love, then he'll usually have a pretty good wife. Very few men see their problem. You know, when I think about, just like the other day, I was over in Dallas and a young man and his wife came up for prayer. And I said, what's wrong with you, sir? And he said, I have brain tumors. I said, okay. I said, what's your relationship with your wife? He kind of looked over at her and said, it's okay. And I looked at her and I said, how's your relationship with him? And immediately she started crying. Now that tells me something. You know that? That tells me that she's not too happy with him. And I said, so what is the problem between you two? She said, well, I did something that he doesn't like and he will not forgive me. And I said, well, you have to forgive him. He said, no, I ain't going to forgive her. I said, but you have to forgive her. He said, no. I said, sir, you already got a brain tumor. I said, this is a tormenting spirit from the Lord, a demon of hell in your head that's causing you to die because of your unforgiveness towards your mate, and you refuse to forgive her. And he said, and I'm not going to forgive her. I said, sir, if you don't forgive her, you're going to die. He said, I don't believe that. I said, and let me tell you something else. If you don't forgive her, if you die, you're going to hell. He said, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to hell. I said, well, Jesus clearly said in his word that if you do not forgive, neither will I forgive you. Does anybody ever remember hearing that scripture? It's in Mark 11, 25 and 26. Very clearly that when you stand praying, you must forgive. If you do not forgive, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Let's put this up here right quick. And when you stand praying. Now, that's right after Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, which is two of the most powerful scriptures where God just told you you can speak to a mountain. Whatever you say with your mouth, you can have it if you believe with your heart. Whatever you ask for, believe you've received it, and it's yours. I mean, he's just given you two of the most powerful scriptures that you can do virtually anything with if you want to and if you know it. But then he turns right around and says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And if he doesn't forgive you, do you think he's going to let you in heaven? No. If you're not forgiven, you're not going to be there. Somebody said, but I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. But Jesus said, you can be washed in his blood, but you still have to forgive. Is that what he said? Yeah. See, your relationship between you and the Father was cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But then he expects your relationship to be the same way between everybody on earth. So he expects you to forgive everybody. And as long as you don't forgive them, then you're going to live in torment on this earth. Now then, so many people don't know this. And so when it comes to this, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands in all things. Whenever you learn to pray for each other, I don't care who it is. And in some cases, like this gentleman here says, maybe the wife is the mean one. You know, there's some women out there that's not too loving. You know, some of them have never learned how to be a sweet, quiet, gentle, loving wife. In fact, there may be some of y'all in this room here. I don't know. I don't know any of you personally that well. I just know that if you take a woman that's married to a man and she never learns how to submit and be that sweet, loving woman, she's never going to experience what she would have experienced at home if she had obeyed God and done what he said. And because when you don't do what God says, if you're not that sweet, loving, submissive woman, then you're in rebellion. And the scripture clearly says when you're in rebellion, there's every form of evil in your house. The devil is there. So when you're in rebellion, rebellion is as witchcraft, and where witchcraft is, every form of evil is there. So if a woman does not ever learn how to submit to her husband, then there'll be demons of all kinds in your home. And they're going to torment you. They're going to torment your children. They're going to make your day terrible. And you're going to go through your whole life wondering why everything goes wrong all the time. And it's because you had a door open. Now, the minute you become the quiet, gentle, submissive woman that's walking in God's way and doing what he says, walking in love, even though your husband may be the meanest guy in town, you can change him. You can, when you learn to go to the throne of grace, God will move on his heart and change him, and you will become, see that man that was a mean guy you couldn't get along with, you will begin to see him be that sweet, gentle, loving, kind man that you always wanted. But you have to obey God first and do what he says. Then you have to learn how to pray and go to the throne of grace. And if it's the other way around, and it's the wife that's not the loving, kind, sweet thing that she's supposed to be, and she's always retaliating with you and always coming against you and saying things, she's not respecting you or none of those kind of things, and she doesn't even understand what she's doing, but she doesn't respect you. So whenever that happens, usually most men that are even in church don't know how to pray either. They just learn how to get mad at their wife, and so what's the first thing they want to do? Divorce. Get another one. Now, let me tell you, we're all just exactly the same. You can get another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, until you learn how to pray and walk holy and obedient to God's word. You ain't never going to get a wife like you want. Now then, if you're that sweet, gentle, loving husband that loves your wife like Christ loved the church, and you're loving her even when she's mean, when she does things wrong, or when she says something wrong. In fact, if she slaps you on the face, you said something, and she slapped you on the face, what do most men do, even a Christian man? They retaliate. Is that what God told you to do? When you get slapped on the face, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. Do we know many men that can do that? No? But see, we need those kind of men. If we have those kind of men, those men that learn to walk in love and do what God says, when you pray for your wife, if you're walking in obedience to his word and you got a wife that's a rebellious woman, you can go to the throne of grace and kick the devil out of her, just like we talked about a while ago. You can go to the throne of grace, kick the devil out of your wife from the throne of grace, then ask the Father in the name of Jesus to move upon her heart and begin to change her and make her the kind of perfect woman that he would want her to be. And when you pray that, now he'll move on her heart and he'll do that. And then all of a sudden this woman that you couldn't get along with, she's the most beautiful, wonderful thing in the world. She's what you always wanted. But see, men and women never learn how to work their position. You know, they get into unforgiveness against their mate. They're in rebellion. They won't talk to him. They won't do nothing. I mean, they won't go nowhere with him. They let him know often that I don't like what you do. I mean, they voice their opinion. They're stiff-necked, obstinate. They're in anger and rage and everything else, and they're not that sweet, loving, kind wife. And the men do the same stupid thing. You know, they do the same dumb thing. And so you got to learn to do it God's way. And when you learn to do it God's way, I mean, just like this woman. There was a woman at another church one night. She walked up, and she was crying, and there was another pastor there, and he asked her, said, honey, what's wrong? And she said, my husband is a drunk. He's an alcoholic. And she said, he beats me when I come home and he's been drinking. Sometimes he beats me, just brutally bruises on me. And she said, I have tried everything to get him to change. Even I've tried putting him in jail and nothing works. Well, no, he's got a demon and he needs to be free. And she said, I've tried to get him to come to church with me and he won't. Well, no. If you ask him once and he says no, that's all. You don't have to keep on him. If you want him to come to church, you go to God. And you ask God to move on his heart to let him have a need to come to church. Because you can't change him. How many of you girls know you can't change your husband? You know, I mean, you can't. I mean, I've seen women try this. Well, when I marry him, I know he'll change. No, he's going to get worse after you marry him. He's not going to get better. So they just don't understand. But you've got to learn, you've got to serve God. And if you put God first, then you can go to the throne of grace for your husband, for your mate, your spouse. And when you go to the throne of grace, if you've got all your sins repented of, and you're walking in a love walk, and you've got that rebellion, that rage, that anger, that unforgiveness and everything all taken care of, you have forgiven him. I don't care what he's done. You forgive him. You walk in, or her, whichever way it is, and then you start walking in love, and then you pray for them regularly. In other words, but you pray in faith, and you pray the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I prayed. I like to tell this story on Sharon. Sharon, she's one of our prayer warriors here. She's just a precious daughter of the King. But Sharon, whenever she came here, several years ago, she was like this lady back here. She had all kinds of problems, including brain tumors, arms won't work, a hip won't work, allergies, back troubles, you name it. She had them. And when she came up, she said, well, I've never heard this kind of teaching, but I want you to know I go to a big church over here in North Dallas, and I've been prayed for hundreds of times, and I've never seen any results. I said, well, did you ever repent? I said, how long have you had this? She said, nearly 30 years. I said, well, have you ever repented of the sin that brought this on? Well, I don't guess I did. I said, well, see, that's your first mistake. You got to repent of sin. I said, you've had a door because of sin. You've had a door open to the devil for the last 30 years. So he just continues to come in and bring the other demons with him. I said, you got to close that door. You got to repent of those sins. When you ask God to forgive you of that sin, does he forgive you? Sure he does. He said it, 1 John 1:9. So then I said, after that, I said, when you've repented of sin, now then, I said, what scripture have you used to base your faith on? Scripture? I have to use the scripture? I said, well, the Lord says in Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word to perform his word. So I said, if you don't come to him on behalf of his word, I said, his word will not return to him void. So when you go to pray, you quote his covenant to him. I said, now, he already knows it, but he wants to know, do you know it? See, I said, when you quote his promises to him, then I said, now you're on safe ground. So you never used the scripture? She said, no, we never used the scripture. And she'd been prayed for hundreds of times and never had an answer. Didn't repent of sin. Didn't call God in remembrance of his promises. So what has she got? Nothing. Nothing. She's been prayed for over 100 times with no result, zero. I said, so then, young lady, now that you've repented of your sin, now then we're going to find a scripture. We're going to base our faith on one of God's promises. And then I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. And I'm going to guarantee you in the name of Jesus, he's going to forgive you and heal you. Now, is that the kind of faith we need? I mean, if God says, if I don't believe him, he said his word clearly, when I come and ask for something, I must ask in faith, nothing wavering. In fact, let me show you that scripture in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And I want to show you another reason why so few of us do not get our prayer answered. James 1, 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith. How much wavering? How much? What'd that say? Uh-huh. Surely God wouldn't be that hard to please. But he is, isn't he? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if you come to God wavering, oh God, I hope you're going to do this, Lord. Please, if it's your will you do this for me? You hear any faith in that? No. So what do you think he's going to do? So we get prayed for 100 times over 10, 15 years, going to church and never get an answer to prayer. And then we repent of our sin. We confess our sin, tell him we're sorry for what we did 30 years ago. And then we call him in remembrance of his covenant. We quote a verse, say, Lord, you said right there that if we did this, you would do this. Isn't that awesome?